welcome to this awesome episode in the Knoxville First Church podcast. My name is Jason Scott. I'm the lead pastor, and I'm so thankful you have joined us today. I believe you've made a great choice, so buckle up, get ready, and let's grow together.
Welcome to week one of a series called Winning the War in Your Mind. I've never done this before, and what I've never done before is teach a series off of a book that I've read. But I've been reading some books this year, and this is one that particularly really resonated with me, and I think it will speak to many of us in the room. So I might not do a whole lot of preaching. If I can hold back the preaching and just do more teaching in this next month, I may do that, but I can't promise you anything. And I will go ahead and tell you that this is a great book. I recommend you to read it. The author's name's Craig Rochelle. He's the lead pastor of a church called Life Church. They invented the YouVersion Bible that many of you have on your phone right now. There's also devotionals on the YouVersion Bible that go along with this series as well, if you would like to follow that as well. And I will go ahead and say that the majority of what I'm going to share are not my original thoughts. It's things in which God taught me through this book that I've read. And it's a biblical book that teaches us a lot about winning the war in our mind. So I hope you're interested in this. I will tell you that last week I shared with you that I was going to start a church series. But the closer I got and the more I've been preparing, I realized that I'm not really ready for that yet. Because for me, when I begin to do a series on who our church is going to be and launch mission and vision and talk about our values and what God's been breathing into me, I want to make sure that I have it put together in a way that really will drive us into the next future of our church, not just be another sermon on a stage. And so I decided to pull back the reins on that, just, you know, go a different direction. Thankfully, I can do that because I'm the pastor, so I chose to do that today. And so this is what we're going to do for the month of September, and it's going to be really, really awesome. So we're in week one of winning the war in your mind. Has anybody ever battled with your thoughts? Battle with your thoughts. Is anybody willing to raise their hand even right now and say, I battle with my thoughts even today? Your pastor's raising his hand. My name's Jason, and I battle with my thoughts. Thank you. Thank you. You see me every Sunday morning come and pray at an altar. Because every Sunday morning, I don't feel like I'm capable of doing my job. Can anybody relate? You might not be a preacher, but you might lead something else or do something else. You might be a mom that wakes up and thinks, I can't even raise my kids. Or a student that thinks there's no way I can walk into that class one more time and deal with that. Since the day I was born, well, I can't really say that, but as I grew up, I always struggled with insecurities, with confidence, with feeling like I had enough, and always feeling like I was less than all my friends. Can anybody relate? And sometimes those feelings still show themselves in my life. What's crazy is that many of you may go, I never would have believed that about you. And there's probably things in which you all battle too that I would never believe. But all of us have a battle going on in our minds. And we need to learn to win the war that's going on up here if we want to live a life worth anything out there. Amen? Maybe you battle between faith and fear. Sometimes you're full of faith, other times you're so full of fear, and you can't make sense of it. In one area of your life, faith-filled. The other area of your life, fear-filled. Maybe you want to trust God, but you also want to be in control. And we struggle with trust and control. Man, I want to trust God in my future. I want to trust God in my finances. I want to trust God in this area. I want to trust God in my marriage, but I also want to be in control. And we battle with our mind. How do I trust and control? Many of us struggle with belief. And sometimes we have it. And then all the times we're full of doubt. I believe that I can do what God's called me to do, but then all of a sudden now I doubt. It's a war in our mind. And there's somebody who is wanting you to have this war, that wants to hold you captive, to kill, steal, and destroy all that you have to offer to your family, friends, and to this world that we live in. Maybe oftentimes you feel loved, and then other times you're voice in your head tells you, no one even loves me. No one cares for me. No one looks out for me. I don't even have any friends. And it's a lie from the enemy. And it's all going on in your mind. Maybe sometimes you have a confidence in whatever God's called you to. And then the next thing you know, you have these crippling insecurities that paralyze you. I started off by saying every Sunday you see me pray at this altar, and it's because I'm praying, Father, give me the strength to do this one more time. May my words not be my own. Can you use me and fill me again? Can you help me do the job that you've called me to do? Because God, right now, the enemy's even whispering in my head, you're going to stink today. And we all deal with these things so often. What this book taught me, what it says is, and what I believe is true, is that most of life's battles are won or lost in our mind. Let me say that again. Most of life's battles are won or lost in our mind. Because our mind is a battlefield. We're constantly battling. And oftentimes, if we believe we can, we can. If we believe we can't, we can't. I hope you wrote that down, and I hope you're thinking about that right now. What battles have you won or lost, even this week, because of how you thought about it? How you walked into it? What was going on up here? Most of life's battles are won or lost in our mind. But the good news is, everybody say, I want the good news. Because this really feels like a weird beginning, Pastor. Like, I want the good news. The good news is that God's word has power. Amen. Not just to help us, but to transform us and to help us overcome this battle in which all of us deal with. Every one of us in the room. For those of us who chose not to raise our hand, to the ones that were like, yes, I deal with it. All of us have a battle roaring in our mind that we must overcome. And the good news is this word has power. And the God of this word has power. Jesus has power to overcome the battle in which all of us face. Throughout the next 4 weeks, and what this book really teaches us and what we see in the Word is a story of a guy named Paul. Everybody know who Paul is? Paul was Saul, who hated Christians, wanted to kill Christians, and had an encounter with Jesus on a road that transformed his life in the moment. Some of us even today can say you've had that transformation too. You had a moment in time that you can think back to that transformed your life. This is what happened to Paul. He was walking. He was going to kill his next one. And he had an encounter with Jesus. Did you know an encounter with Jesus changes everything? Can I say that again? An encounter with Jesus changes everything. So if you want something to change, your attitude, your mindset, anything in your life, an encounter with Jesus is what you need. Oftentimes, I'm burdened, I'm praying, I'm worried for my church, and what I'm worried about is that we haven't experienced an encounter with Jesus. Not that we're not coming to church, that we haven't experienced Jesus. Amen? Because an encounter with Jesus changes everything. So Paul had this encounter with Jesus, and it changed his life. And he begins to serve God in an amazing way, planting churches all over the place. And I want to read scripture to you from the book of Romans. And he writes to this church. He's writing to the people, and he says in verse 14, it's Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 25. It's talking about struggling with sin. And before I read this, actually, I want to make something very clear, okay? What I don't want you to think in this moment is that every thought you have is sinful, okay? Because the enemy, the liar, puts thoughts in our head. Scripture says that. Oftentimes, it's not your thought that's a sin. It's what you do with the thought that becomes a sin. However, what, do not hear your pastor wrong. I'm not saying that think about whatever you want, because thoughts aren't a sin unless you do something about it. Okay? Hear me out? So when I read this, it's going to talk about sin, but I want you to understand that big principle. It says, so the troubles is not with the law, for it's a spirit, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me. Paul's talking about himself. For I am all too human, a slave to sin. I don't really understand myself, Paul's saying. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law was good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Verse 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But I do what I don't want to do. I'm not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Does this guy sound crazy yet to you? Like, come on, Paul. Then he goes on to say, verse 21, I have discovered this principle of life. Who wants to know this principle of life? Come on. I want to know it. Like, I want to know it because he wrote a lot of the New Testament. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. Do you see that? There's something else within me that's at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. That's a big part of the principle that we need to know today, is to understand that none of us are perfect, and all of us have something that we have to overcome. He's saying, I know myself. He's not foolish to himself. I know myself. And then he says, who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Verse 25. Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nobody wants to shout about that? Come on. What's the answer to the war raging in our mind? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? And when you have an encounter with Jesus, he changes everything. There is a war being raged against us. It's inside of us. It's a fleshy nature that wants to overcome us. It's the enemy speaking into us. There's this stuff that's happening. And Paul says, I'm just as crazy as everybody else. There's all these things going on. But the answer to all of this is Jesus. The answer to this is Jesus. Paul also writes to a church in Corinth. We studied this scripture a little while ago, actually, so it's going to be repetitious for you, which is good sometimes. I often think that many Christians, we don't need more scripture. We need to apply the scripture we already know. Amen? We don't need something new. We need to apply what we already know. And so this is a scripture we looked at recently. It says in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power." Everybody say divine power. "To demolish our strongholds." It talks about divine power and it talks about strongholds, okay? The divine power that it speaks of, this word that they draw from is dunamis. And that means explosive power of God. D-U-N-A-M-I-S, dunamis. It means the explosive power of God. And then he uses a word called stronghold, which is translated from the word acharoma. And that means military stronghold, a fortress built to the highest peak city, reinforced with walls up to 20 foot thick. And that's what the enemy wants to do to you in your mind. Is make you think that you are stuck within a wall of sin, a wall of doubt, a wall of fear, a wall of just whatever it is. He wants you to believe that you can't get out. But me and you have to understand that the number one tool and possibly the only tool the enemy has to use against us is lies. Think about it. He starts from the very beginning with a lie to Eve. The enemy's main tool is to lie to you and get you to believe lies about yourself. And that's how he rages war against your mind. So what does the enemy do? He tries to shape your thinking one thought at a time. Get you to live in a prison of lies because he's the author of those lies. You can't trust because he's lying to you. He says things to your brain that it makes your mind think that you will never succeed, that you'll always be broke, that you'll never have a good marriage or any marriage. God doesn't hear your prayers. He wants to speak into you. These are lies that the enemy is constantly using against you, that God doesn't care about you, that you'll never make a difference in the world, so why try? That you're going to amount to nothing, that you're a failure, that no one loves you, that you're all alone, that you're not good enough. Go on and on and on and on. You can write yours down on a piece of paper right now. Whatever the lies are that the enemy is pouring into you and wanting you to stay captive in. This is how our adversary, our enemy, wages war against us. He attacks our thoughts. Paul says it like this, though. He says that we demolish these arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And this is how Paul says it. Okay, in Romans, he's saying, I'm crazy. I can't do what is right. But it's like he's starting to grow as a believer. Did you know we all need to grow as a believer? Amen? That what you were a year ago, you don't have to be today. That we have to always be growing in our understanding of the Word and God's ways. And Paul's now saying, look, we demolish every argument and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to who? Jesus Christ, yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Paul is telling us, hey, yes, there's a war, but we have the power to overcome it through Jesus by taking our thoughts captive. Taking our thoughts captive. And I've recognized that I need help with that in my life. Taking every thought captive. Not allowing any thought to sneak through. Because the first time I allow a thought of the enemy to sneak through, it can take me off path. Can I get an amen? Next thing you know, I'm angry all the time at Amy. Or I'm yelling all the time at Ashby. You know? Coming home with the wrong attitude, so on and so on. The one thought that I allow to sneak through, the one thought that I don't take captive, it's a war against us that the enemy really, really would love to win in your life. So one of the first things we have to recognize is that you're in a war. Whether you knew it or not. Those thoughts that you keep having negatively against the person that you love, that is not about the person you love. That's about the enemy pouring that into your heart, into your mind, trying to transform your thoughts. It's a war. Craig Groeschel says in this book, Winning the War in Your Mind, that our lives are always in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. The Bible and science both agree with this. It's like, you know, they come together on this. There's been cognitive behavior psychology that has looked into all of this, and they've even found that even relational challenges, eating disorders, addictions, and some form of anxieties are the direct result of toxic thoughts. And so our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So what are we thinking about? What are we thinking on? Amen? How are we being transformed? Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So who are you? Right? Because what you're thinking in your heart is determining who you are. Your lives are always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And because of that, the life we have is a reflection of the thoughts that we think. Some of this is heavy and it's making you think, amen? Making you think about your thoughts, and that's actually the point. If we're in a battle of our thoughts and we want to win that war, we have to think about our thoughts, because what we think about determines who we become. If you think you can't, you probably won't. But if you think you can, you probably will. If you dwell on problems, you'll allow them to overwhelm you. But if you look for solutions, you'll probably find some. If you feel like a victim all the time, you'll be one. And many people live in that place. I'm a victim. You'll be one because you're trying to become one, because your thoughts are making you one. Everything you see is making you a victim. But if you can believe that you can overcome through Christ, you will. If you feel like you're always being hurt, probably because you're looking to be offended all the time. Our life is a reflection of the thoughts that we think. So let's take a thought audit, okay? A thought audit. The book teaches us to take a thought audit. This will be fun for you for a second. Write down on your note card, thought audit. Okay, we're gonna work on this later. We don't have time to now, but I want you to just start thinking about for a second, your natural way of thinking between 1 and 10. Okay, are you more on the side one is a worried person all the time, or on the 10 a peaceful person all the time? 1 to 10. 1 over here is worried. Okay, 10 is peaceful. You're full of peace. And here's what I mean on the worried. Right? You're worried about what people think. You're worried about your kids. You're worried about your future. You're worried about your money, your job, your health. It consumes you. You're totally worried about it all the time. You can't get out of this place of worry, 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 worry. I'm worried about it, right? Or are you secure in God's promises that it brings you peace? That you do what you can, and then you trust God for the rest, and it brings you peace. Because you get to choose. You're either a 1 worried, or you're over here to 10 peace. And I promise you, as you learn to go and slide the scale towards the peaceful, you'll be a happier person. beginning to not worry all the time about all these things and find peace knowing that God is good. Right? That God is good. Here's another one. Are you, number one over here, always negative? Looking for everything negative? Or over here on the 10, a positive person? Negative or positive? Which one are you? Do you wake up and everything, as soon as you get out of the bed, you're like all rolled out of the wrong side of the bed today, right? No, it's just you. I don't care what side of the bed you roll out of. You could drop out of the front, back, the end. You could do flips out of it. You're negative. It doesn't matter. And we know those people. Amen? No, nobody will say amen. That's funny. We know those positive people too. And every one of us in the room would rather hang out with a 10 on the positive than a 1 on the negative. Every one of us. Every one of us would. What do negative people look like? If you're a 1 over here, you're critical of people nonstop. You're always finding fault in everything. Amen? You're discontent. You're hard-headed and you're always busy. You're 1. When you walked in here today, you were negative. You were critical of something. I mean, you can't get away from it. It's just who you are because you've allowed the enemy to win this in your mind. Right? You're either negative or positive, 1 to 10. Here's the other one. Well, positive people believe the best in people. They see life as good and they're very optimistic about their future. So are you a 1 or a 10? Negative or positive? And finally, are you a 1 over here? 1 is worldly thinking, or over here, 10, eternal thinking? Are you thinking of the things of the world all the time? Or are you thinking of things of eternity, the things of God? Are your thoughts only about your material possessions, etc., etc., and the likes of people and what you have and all of that? Or are you mindful of eternal gifts, that you want to reach people, that you want to be generous and give to others, and you're not worried about everything that you have? That's kind of a thought audit, to just see where you're at on the scale. Because what comes into your mind comes out in your life. That's what you need to know. What comes into your mind comes out into your life. And no matter what you do, what you have, what you know, what you buy, where you live, where you travel, no matter any of that stuff, you could take a million vacations, but you cannot have a positive life when you have a negative mindset. The next vacation or the next car or anything else is not going to change that for you. So you can't have a positive life with a negative mindset. I wrote this down here. I said, you can have everything. And we know people like this. You can have everything you need and still be miserable. Because you're a miserable person, letting the miserable enemy overcome your miserable mind. Amen? It's a war. It's a war in our mind. And your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So the big question of today is, are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you? That's a question you need to ask yourself. If the answer is yes, keep on keeping on, right? If the answer is no, we have to learn to change our thoughts and take our thoughts captive. Are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you? Are they taking you somewhere full of blessing or somewhere full of death? Right? What are your thoughts doing for you? And it doesn't matter whether you're the oldest to the youngest in the room. This is applicable to every one of us. Because we all have a mind and we all have an enemy who wants to control it. To the last day that you pass away, we're in a battle. We're in a battle. Are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you? Think about that question, and then let's look at a few things that we need to do, all right? Two simple things, and you've probably heard these before, and it's okay. The first thing we need to do when it comes to these thoughts, if we're not happy with where our thoughts are taking us, is that we need to identify the biggest thought holding you back. We need to start identifying the biggest thoughts holding us back. What are those? In that scripture, he called them strongholds, right? But I just want to keep it simple for you. What are the biggest thoughts that are holding you back? Is it that you're not good enough, that your past is too bad, that you can't trust, that you're always battling these weight issues, that, you know, you're not good with money, that you can't, you know, that you can't get close to God, that you'll never get a job that you love? I mean, what is the thoughts that are constantly holding you back? What are they? We need to identify that. You can't take something captive if you don't identify what it is, right? And so we have to learn to identify our negative thoughts. I said that like science and the Bible kind of align on all of this. And they found that negative thoughts can change the chemical makeup of our brains. And the more you think negative thoughts, the more you become a negative person. It ends up being your default mechanism. Right? So that's why we have to be careful with our thoughts and think about what we're thinking about. Because the same is true about positive thoughts. It gives us this feeling, right? This dopamine rush. Like a positive thought, we love it. You know, let me think on something good. And the more we think positive, the more we become a positive person. And they even showed studies that, you know, okay, let's say that you walk out of your front door, and maybe many of you all do, and you walk to the mailbox back and forth every day for a year on the same path through your grass. Okay? Same path. What happens to that grass? You wear it out, turns into dirt, right? It creates a permanent path. That's how our thoughts work too. So the more you think negative, you become negative. Right? And that's why it's important to take our thoughts captive. Because we start changing the way we think when we do so. We have to forge a new pathway in our brain. So the first thing we have to do is identify the biggest thought holding you back. You have to name it because you cannot defeat what you cannot define. I love that. You cannot defeat what you cannot define. Nobody's ever won a war that they didn't really know they were ever even in, and they couldn't define what the war was. You know? You have to know what you are fighting against. Then, once you name it, then you have to name the truth that demolishes that thought. You have to name the truth that demolishes that thought. And where do you find truth? Do you find it on Fox News, CNN, or anywhere else? Can I get an answer? No. A strong no. Come on, fellow believers. No, that's not where you get it. That's not where you find truth. You find truth in God's word. So you don't take your thought and line it up with what they say, what the media says, what your friend says, girlfriend says, mommy, daddy, brother, sister, because they can lie to you too. And the enemy has been known to use the ones that we love the most in our life to lead us down the wrong path and convince us of things that aren't true. So we don't go to anything else but the word. We identify the stronghold, we identify the thought, and then we go to the truth. This wasn't in the book, but I wrote this down because God poured this out of me while I was reading the book. That no, if you don't know God's word, you don't know truth. But if you know God's word, you know truth. So the only way you'll find the truth to overcome the thinking in your mind is by going to God's word. Hear me? So you can't win this battle without this book. Ooh, somebody needed to hear that today. You can't win this battle without this book. And this book can't sit beside your bed on the floor until the next Sunday when you come. That's not how it works. You want to fight a battle? Like if you're going to train for a real fight, you got to wake up every day and go at it. Amen? Running your mouths, punching the bag, getting ready for the fight. But we try to act like this spiritual battle isn't that big a deal, and all we need to do with this is read it when he comes to church. If you know the word of God, you will know the truth. And the truth shall what? Set you free from this battle going on in your brain. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Middle schoolers in the room. Middle schoolers and college kids in the room. I love the youth that we have in this church. All you senior adults and older people, aren't you happy about the youth and the college kids we have in the church? Come on, make some noise for them. Come on, get excited. We keep trying to be convinced that this world is turning away from the Lord. And all I keep seeing is the youth turning to the Lord, seeking for something more. Because the world's lying to us. But you need to hear that your mind is being fought after. There is an enemy that wants you to think you suck. And I'm sorry I said suck in church, but I mean it. I mean it. And you don't. The truth says that you are a child of God, beautifully and wonderfully made, for a purpose, with a purpose. And let no man pour anything into your brain. Let no woman, let nothing, no teacher, no father, no brother, no sister ever convince you that you aren't worth it or that you're worthless. God has a plan for you. So when you step into school tomorrow, who cares what everybody else says? They want to transform your mind and turn you away from what God's already told you. That you are good. That you have a purpose. We learn about the weapons, right? We've learned about weapons in this church before. And the main offensive weapon that we have as Christians is the truth. And that's what we go to battle with, number one. In my life. And the reason I love this book is because it resonates with me and everything I've been through. In my life, I've often wrestled with, I'm not enough. I'm not enough. I'm not enough of a husband for my wife. I'm not enough of a provider for my family. I'm not enough as a dad. I'm not enough as a pastor for each one of you all. I'm not enough. But you know what God's word has actually shown me in that? I'm not supposed to be enough. I'm not supposed to be enough. And neither are you. See, the enemy wants you to think you're not enough. And the truth is, he's right. But you're not supposed to be enough because you need Jesus. You're not enough until you find Jesus, know Jesus, accept Jesus, carry Jesus, and attack the enemy with Jesus. You'll never be enough. And you're not supposed to be. That's why God sent his son to die for us. Because he knew it too. So when you start hearing that little whisper in your brain, you're not enough. You're not enough. You say right back to the enemy, you're right, I'm not. You're right. But I got a man named Jesus living in me. I met him years ago. And since then, you don't have a chance, devil. John 8:32 says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Embrace the truth. Open the door and be free from your thoughts. Take them captive with the truth of God. Amen? I can't get it all done. You're right. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's a truth for you. Write that down. And then go search it on Google and find where it is in the Bible. If you can't find it quickly. I'm not attractive. I'm not tall enough. I'm not pretty enough. I don't look like so-and-so. Yeah, well, the Bible says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made on purpose. right? I'm stinking miserable. I'm a miserable person. No. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I like that song. We need to sing that one. Have you heard that one? The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Anyway. This week? Like next week? With sweet. God is good. Feel all alone. You're not alone. Enemy wants you to feel all alone. You'll never be alone because God is always with you. And that's not pastor talk or parent talk. Ashby, it's not pastor talk or parent talk. God will always be with you. Always. College kids, I don't care what happens tomorrow on campus. I don't care who looks the other way when you walk across the middle of the field. Whatever. God is always with you. You're not alone. But the enemy wants you to feel that way. Parents in the room, moms, Amy, you're not alone. There's other women in this church that love you, care for you, and want the best for you. Same for you, Brennan, Nicole, same for you. Every one of you in this room. Melinda, Melissa, don't be offended if I don't say your name. I can't go through all of you. But every one of you. I'm a victim. You can be an overcomer. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So let's win the battle of our mind. How about that? How about that? And when I say we, you know, it says, John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth is not just a concept. Hold on, follow me. The truth is not just a concept in this book. It's a person. It's a person. When you know the truth will set you free. I started by reading Romans 8. And Paul said, thank God that I know I'm crazy and all these things are going on in my mind and I can't seem to control it in this moment. But he said, thank God that the answer to all these thoughts is Jesus. He says, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Identify your thought and then find the truth to attack that thought. And tell the enemy, not today. Amen? But remember, this is what we battle with. This is what we battle with. This is how we fight our battles. Y'all know that song. It's a good one. I bet if we started singing it, many of you would be like, yeah, throw hands up. This is how we fight our battles. But that's not what we're going to sing. They got something else planned. But you can still fight your battles. Doesn't matter if that's the song they're going to sing, whatever one it is. You can fight battles today. You could say, you know what, Pastor? Thank you for sharing this. I'm going to go and I'm going to read the book and I'm going to get into this and I'm going to actually start right now by praying in your seat or at the altar, wherever you want. Father, help me overcome this thought that I've wrestled with my entire life, that I'm not good enough. Bull, you are. Bull. Father, we love you so much. Father, I pray that we will win the war in our mind. I pray for those right now who understand and know that they have been fighting the wrong battle for too long. They thought, Lord God, that it's a person they're fighting with, but really, it's an enemy. Those thoughts that they have to that person is not about the person at all. It's what the enemy wants them to think. Father, I pray, Jesus, that we'd be able to identify the nonsense and replace it with the good news. That we would take our thoughts captive. That we would win the war in our mind. And it starts today. Identifying and replacing with truth. To do that, we need to know the Word. And some of us are sitting here in these pews right now, Lord, I know it, going, well, I don't know the Word well enough to do this battle, to fight this way. But Father, I believe that as you surrender your life to Jesus, and as you pray to Him, you will implant the truth into their life to overcome these thoughts, whether they know the Word or not. Scripture says the Spirit of God will pray on their behalf. And I know, Jesus, in my life, I've felt you and seen you give me wisdom that I never thought I had. It's because you knew I needed it when I needed it the most. And you will do the same for each of us. Help us, God, right now to be willing to respond, Lord God, and begin fighting the right battles, fighting the one in your mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and respond and pray.
Thank you for joining us here at the Knoxville First Church Podcast. We loved having you, and we hope you will come back next week for another great teaching. I would love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 6708 Westland Drive in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you would like to contribute and give to this ministry, go to www.knoxfirstchurch.com/give. See you next week.